Hello, and thanks for checking us out. Before we do get started with this episode, I do want to say that I know the audio is pretty bad on this one. It took us a little while to get it all sorted out. We got it sorted by episode 13 or 14. We're now up to episode 25, and the clarity is amazing. But I just thought I'd put this disclaimer on there before you have a listen. Anyway, hope to see you in later episodes. Bye.
G'day, and welcome to the first episode of Cephalon Squared, episode one, part one of one. So basically this is our first episode for Warframe as a Warframe community podcast. I am your host, Cephalon Greg, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Cephalon Lucas. Say g'day, Lucas.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
Welcome, and of course, just so you know, we're not actually Cephalons. We're just regular dudes that are calling ourselves Cephalons. Just thought I'd cover that off. What is Cephalon Squared? We will be a weekly podcast, hopefully, as long as we can keep to our schedule, which we do plan to do every Tuesday night Australian time. Obviously, we are crazy Aussies with our crazy Aussie accents, so if you want to pick on us, go for it. We will we'll be okay with that.
Aussies pick on Aussies, so yeah, no, we're fine with
it. When it comes to other names like Valkyr, however you want to say it, I say Valkyr, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. Reb Ford says Vuban, I don't. I say Vauban. I don't want to say Vuban, it sounds so funny. Anyway, Vauban, so that's what I say. So if you want to pick on us for how we pronounce things, feel free. That's fine. We're okay with it. Just to get this out there and make it up front, we are console players. We're both PS4 players. In fact, I started playing with Lucas a while ago, which is why we know each other, obviously, which does mean that we will be a little bit behind the eight ball when new stuff gets released. But our plan is to basically spoil things for ourselves so that we can talk about all the new stuff that comes out, so we don't want to be too far behind. But we will be a weekly podcast covering news and tidbits and whatever comes out during the week. We do plan on having a look at different things that happen in the community as well, so we'll keep an eye on the Reddit page and forums and YouTubers and all these kinds of things, and call out different things here and there. We have some interesting plans for the future. It all depends on whether it all works out. So I don't want to make any promises just yet in case we can't keep them. But we do want to make it really much more community focused down the line. We will be focusing on giving out tips, because we want to be a little more value than just a bit of news. So we're not the greatest players in the world. We're just ordinary guys, like I assume many of you listening. Guys or gals, I should say. We've got our own personal preferences. We've got we find out what works for us, what doesn't work for us, and you may not agree or you might agree, but as per the beautiful intro that I sculpted before we started the podcast, you can contact us at cephalonsquared@gmail.com or on Twitter, cephalonsquared. And let us know your thoughts. If you disagree with us, go for it. Just be polite. That's all we ask. The world's a hard enough place as it is. We don't need any more aggression. Let's all be friends. We'll share our tips, our tricks. We do want to help out noobs as well, so the new people will give you some new tips as well. On to the show. What did you think of my fancy schmancy intro, Lucas?
Honestly, could you get any cheesier?
I could probably get a little cheesier, but I think that's about as cheesy as it needed to be. It's a bit of a placeholder for now, just like the image for the podcast. We're working on a few things. We're getting there. We just decided, you know what we did? We saw that there were very few podcasts out there. I think there's one called Tenno Talk. I've listened to that. Those guys are pretty good. But if you look at a game like Destiny, where they have 7,000 podcasts every week, the fact that there really weren't so many for Warframe suggested that, hey, let's get out there and do something. And we just decided to do it. We literally decided yesterday. And here we are today recording. So
what a thought.
So let's get into it. So let's introduce ourselves before we get onto everything, so you know exactly who we are and where we come from. We can go from there. So I'll let you introduce yourself first, Lucas. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'm Lucas. I've been playing Warframe for about 2 years now. I've clocked over 1,000 hours. I'm a little bit addicted, just a little bit. Mastery rank 19, nothing really impressive there. I am leader of the Debauchery Tea Party clan for the PS4. And yeah, that's pretty much all I can really say. 2 years experience.
Very good. So, yep, I'm Greg. I came from Destiny, to be honest. I'm one of those guys. I did start playing Warframe years ago when it was first released on the PS4. I bought myself a PS4 at launch, and I saw that there was this free-to-play game. I didn't know much about free-to-play games. I downloaded Warframe, tried it out. It wasn't for me at the time. Came back years later. I got addicted to Destiny. I played Destiny 1. About 1,000 hours I put into Destiny 1. I got really addicted, and then Destiny 1 got boring. And then Destiny 2 came out and wasn't as good as I expected it to be. But just before Destiny 2 came out, I started to get back into Warframe. I loaded it up. I gave it a shot. I started to think, hey, this is actually pretty good. And that was about August last year. And then Destiny 2 came out. I started playing that. I put in about 50 hours and I got bored and I went back to Warframe. Played for a while by myself. Yeah, played for about 100 hours or so. No, probably not that much, maybe 60, 70, 80 hours on my own, just working through the star chart, and then realized it started to get hard. And I reached out through the Warframe Australia and New Zealand Facebook page looking for a clan, and Lucas responded. And here I am, something like 500 hours later. So yeah, I only started playing a year ago after Planes of Eidolon. I'm one of those guys that just jumped on the bandwagon, so to speak. But yeah, I love the game. I am absolutely addicted to the game. I play it more than anything else. I still do play Destiny 2. Looking forward to the next thing that comes out. We played a little bit of Defiance, didn't we, Lucas? There's a lot that I play, but Warframe is
Defiance. A little bit of Paladins.
Yeah, Warframe is love. A little bit of Paladins. That's a good game. Yeah, Warframe is love. Warframe is life.
Definitely life.
Anyway. Yep. Yeah, it really is at the moment. So that's us. That's where we come from. That's our experience. We're both PS4 players. We both play together almost every night. We try to carry through, or we try to help out new players. We just brought on a couple of new players this week. So welcome to those guys. They've been doing really well. We've been helping them out as much as we can. Not everyone needs help, of course, but
we give it where it's needed.
Exactly. And that's part of what we wanted to do with this. So we have a bit of a structure that we want to go through every week. We'll have rotating sections, but one section that we will be sticking with, or two sections that we'll be sticking with, is tips for beginners and tips for advanced players towards the end. But before we get into that, we'll take a look at news. And of course, just recently, there was DevStream 113 following TennoCon. So we are a little bit late for TennoCon. I'm sure everyone that's listening to this now has already seen everything that was covered on TennoCon, etc. So we decided just to start with DevStream 113. Anything you want to say before we jump into it, Lucas?
Just that if you do want to go back and watch anything TennoCon related, Warframe has all the videos up on YouTube, just for those people who are not in the know and how.
Yes. Good point. YouTube is an awesome resource, and we are not on there. We could always, you know, film ourselves doing this podcast. Just throwing that out there. All right. So what they cover in DevStream 113. TennoGen Round 12 is finally coming to, or the remaining items from TennoGen Round 12 are coming to consoles next update. That was a pretty quick and easy one.
Very quick.
By the time you listen to this,
they'll probably already be out.
Yes. Well, no. The Maybe. Next update. Possibly.
Possibly.
I don't know. But anyway, Prime update, Prime Vault, sorry, will be opened. Probably by the time you listen to this, because it's going
Definitely.
to happen tomorrow morning,
Definitely by the
Australia, which is only like 12 hours away. So they'll definitely be open. And that means access again to Rhino, Nyx, Ankyras, Hikko, or however you say it, Voltor, Skindo. All of those primes will be back in the relic rotation. Plus, there'll be accessories packs, which is pretty exciting. I'm very keen for Nyx Prime and Boltor Prime in particular because I love the Boltor weapons. What about you, Lucas?
I think I'm mostly interested in acquiring Nyx Prime finally. The Hikau is interesting, or however you say it. Again, pronunciation, Australians. Woo! I think for me, more though, it's going to be the accessory packs. Like, for the first time, they've decided to take the old accessories from old Prime packs, and they've gone, cool, we'll split it into individual packs. So if you want, you can just pick up the accessories, the armor, the Sindana. I don't know exactly. Which ones are coming, but they're coming separately. And if I'm to understand, they're actually coming at a fairly decent price too.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the price is in Australian. I think it's $20 for the accessories packs. There's two accessories packs that are coming out. And that is, to D's credit, that is at the request of the community. So
yeah,
good on them for doing that. It did take a long time for us to get here, but here we are. And that's really cool. So I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, I'm also looking forward to Nyx Prime. Nyx is a fun frame, and yeah, that'll be awesome. I just love getting all the primes. I'm such a collector. One of the things I didn't mention in my little intro is, out of everything, I'm MR 20, I'm mastery rank 20. And the reason I've done that in less than a year in only 550 hours or something is because I'm just an MR whore. I just smash through it. I love it. I collect everything. I just have to get it and do it and move on to the next one. My motto, if I had a motto, is always be leveling. That's my motto. Always be leveling. Or never not.
If I'm being honest, the only reason why I'm mastery rank 19 now is for the simple fact that I am a little bit competitive. So the second I saw Greg start getting higher mastery rank than me, I was like, nah, I can't allow this.
I'm almost 21. Just to let you know, I'm almost 21. Anyway, moving on. The Twitch drops for the console players still hasn't happened. So that will be happening apparently later this year. I'm not sure how it's going to happen because I guess it can't be linked to the sacrifice anymore as it was for PC players. So who knows what's going to go on there, but it's apparently going to come later this year. More info to come, I guess. But of course, the big component of DevStream 113 was to look at some of the things, the big things that were announced at TennoCon. And of course, Venus. We went to Venus. We went to Fortuna. So Fortuna is the name of the town. So it's Venus's Cetus.
Can I just stop you and just put in there, what a song. Oh my God.
Yes.
What a fucking song. Still can't get it stuck. It's still stuck in my head. It's still there.
It is really good. I also heard there was a metal version that someone had done that I listened to.
I'm going to have to find this.
It made me smile. So yeah, that song is really brilliant, and I think, you know, D is aware of that. It was jaw dropping when they showed that off, especially the transition when Mag dropped down from the top, and suddenly it turned into gameplay. But anyway, that was TennoCon. A lot of what they showed in the dev stream was really just going back in, showing a few of the things that were shown off, and having a bit of a chat about certain topics that hadn't been fully covered in detail. So, for example, they mentioned the K drives. There will be different kinds of K drives. There will be a new faction called the Vent Kids, I believe, or I don't know whether that's the final name or whether they're still working on that. But they will have reputation, And it sounds like you'll have to do tricks and grinding and all sorts of things like a Tony Hawk skateboarder game to build faction rep with the Vent Kids. And I cannot say how excited I am by that because I was a massive Tony Hawk's Pro Skater fan back in the mid-90s, which shows my age.
I'm definitely looking forward to doing a few kick flips on a hoverboard. That's definitely
Yes.
fun.
One thing I did when I saw the K-Drive a couple of weeks ago at TennoCon, I tweeted out to the guys, you better have the capability to put stickers or even just glyphs all over the bottom of my K-Drive because I want to make it, I want to
Definitely.
bling it out, make it
Definitely.
rad, just whatever the cool kids say.
Fashion frame capabilities, any fashion frame capabilities are welcome.
Well, they did mention that it will be fully fashion frameable, if that's a word. Totally a word now.
That is now.
Was there anything else?
Very
Yes, I think you broke up a little bit there. I don't know whether it re recorded on your side. Hopefully it did. But was there anything else you heard from the Venus section that you wanted to cover before we move on?
The Orb Mothers. The Orb Mothers had me quite interested. Basically the Spidolons, as I've heard a few people refer to them as. The fact that there's going to be more than one Spidolon in the Venus landscape, and they're going to basically be protectors of the Corpus bases. Now, if I remember correctly, it was Steve said that there was going to be special ways to actually call out the Orb Mothers. So that's going to be very interesting. How they're going to change up the interactive capabilities from the Plains of Eidolon.
Yeah, and that's really because there's not going to be any time of day. So there won't be a night time like there is on the Plains of Eidolon, so they can't have the Orb Mothers only coming out at night. So you basically need to summon them. So that'll be really cool. It'll basically mean that anytime you want to go in and smash an Orb Mother, for want of a better term, you can just go do it any old time you like once you figured out how to summon it. So that'll be cool. Oh, alert level. They're
Ooh,
putting an
yes.
alert level like Grand Theft Auto, and that is cool.
It's Grand Theft Warframe.
Yes.
GTW. GT
Yes.
dubs. I mean they already kind of started that thing up when they introduced the hijacking of the Grineer ships on the planes. So
Yes.
yeah, I hope they continue that. They bring that mechanic also into the Venus. But yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to. Endless waves of enemies that just want to kill you because you've done so many things wrong to them. It's great.
Naughty thing, because you're a naughty boy.
And the
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward
orbital strikes.
to that. Oh, yeah. Unless, I mean, I doubt they added that just for the railjack component, but they might have, you never know. But I doubt it. It's bound to be something that's happened. The other thing that I thought, and while we're on Venus, we may as well cover interaction, is that the right word? With Cetus as well, the Plains of Eidolon, because D is looking at the progression grind. So they don't want to make it so that you just grind for certain things on Plains of Eidolon, and then you've got to go to Venus and just grind for things there, and everything's siloed and separate. They want to work out how they can have some sort of crossover between the regions, which is really cool, and I hope they figure that out. And really, what I hope they do is just drop the rep requirements for things in Cetus because some of them are obnoxiously painful.
I'm probably most interested in the reputation wise in the Quill reputation because
Yes.
they have mentioned there will be a Quill's base hidden in Fortuna. My question for that is basically whether or not we're going to have to grind again, or maybe will some of our reputation from Cetus's Quill branch, will that follow us over and make it a little bit easier?
Yeah, especially for someone like you that's already hit the you have hit the top level, haven't you, for Quills?
I'm a few Eidolon shards off from being able to hit the top level.
That's right, yeah. So I'm at the third rank or the fourth rank, I can't remember. Because 21,000 rep per day limit, and that's just based on my MR plus an extra 1,000, means it takes a long time to hit that 70,000 grind between levels, and that's just the third level. I think the fourth is like 140. So the difference between the distance between them is huge, and if you've done all the work to get to the top rank in Cetus, I don't know, you might be pissed off to have to go do more work again in Venus, or maybe it's just another thing to do because by this time you've already gotten used to war farm.
Yes, that's true.
I have to say,
it just feels like quills. You got quills on one planet, you got quills on the next. It's not necessarily a different reputation. So why would there be a new reputation grind for a group that you've already grinded for?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess we'll find out soon enough. There might not be. There might not be. But I'm going to have to, or we're going to have to, put our faith in D for that one until we hear more information. But we'll see how that goes. Anything else on Venus before we move on to Railjack?
No, I'm actually wanting to get to Railjack as soon as possible.
Well, let's do it. So they didn't show off any of the action, so to speak. They basically, Rebecca Ford jumped onto the Railjack again and walked around it. And it was much bigger than I had, or that anyone had really anticipated previously, because they hadn't shown everything properly. They sort of jumped from room to room and you know, all quickly as part of their demo. But during the dev stream, they walked from room to room slowly, so you could see a lot of things. Plus, they mentioned that there's going to be a lower deck with access to your arsenal, the market. I think they even mentioned that you'll have access to your foundry there.
Yes, so, yeah, they did.
Yeah, you'll basically be able to use that as your orbiter when you're playing with your friends, I guess. That sounds to me, and no, it doesn't just sound to me, they did mention it directly. It will be individual, so each person will have their own Railjack, so you can host your friends or whatever needs to be. It's modular, it can be upgraded. I know you've got a lot to say on this, so I'll just let you go. Go!
Okay, so my thoughts on the individual modular system. I'm really excited for this for the simple fact that, for example, that they've mentioned there will be different weapons equipable to the Railjack ships. So, for instance, let's say you, Greg, you've decided you want to build your ship for, I don't know, mostly ballistic weaponry. Maybe throw in a bit of extra armor. So, you know, your ship will be built for one particular style. And then, for instance, my ship may be a bit less armored and may be focusing on energy weapons. That brings up a great chance to alternate between play styles through your friends. So you can build your way, but you could always then know that your friends have a different play style. Jump on their ship, you've got a completely new experience.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty cool. It'll depend, again, how they sort of implement it and how different each of the weapons are. But it'll be pretty cool. I'm very much looking forward to it. And of course, they did mention that it's not just going to be that same mission that they demonstrated at DennoCon. There'll be a lot of different kinds of mission types and objectives and things like that. So,
like the derelict, they mentioned boarding derelict ships and stuff like that. Now, see, that brings up another point. Will we eventually be able to get? I know this is jumping way too far into the future, but will we eventually then be able to get prime ship parts?
Possibly.
Because you pick up something from the derelict, it's going to be of a different. It's going to be different as to whether or not you pick something up from a corpus ship. Mm. So you know the technology differences. Clearly, you're going to have like a Grineer, Corpus, Derelict, Enemy subtypes for the Railjack
system. Yeah.
So then...
Well, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of difference. I did mention in the stream that you go to the Derelict And once you finish that mission, you'll come out with a particular mod or whatever. So there's bound to be different ones for different reasons. You'd want to go to the derelict for a specific reason, I imagine.
Another point I want to bring up about Railjack is the sense of belonging it's going to create for players who have a particular play style. When they showed this originally on TennoCon, I absolutely got captivated by the fact that you have a pilot, a couple gunners, maybe someone running around the ship, putting out fires and taking out the invaders. But then you also had the person who would board the enemy ship. Having roles, that's going to be probably the biggest thing for me, in particular. I'm excited. I cannot wait to just, you know, put everything into being a pilot.
Well, I've got to put my devil's advocate hat on, because I've got a devil's advocate hat. And basically say that, yeah, I think that'll be interesting, but how long would it stay interesting? Do I want to keep being a boarder, for example, or do I want to keep being a gunner? Or what if I want to be a pilot and you want to be a pilot at the same time? Is there going to be a way to flip a coin? Or, you know, there could be some potential headaches down the line. And what about if you're playing with a public group?
True. Okay. Honestly, I would not implement public.
No, I wouldn't.
No way. No, I'd much rather go solo. Yeah, they've said that there's capabilities to go solo. So, it is fantastic. So if I can't matchmake with my friends or guildies, or clannies, then it's solo. As for whether or not you wanted to one day go pilot, and there'd be a point where I'd turn around and go, you know what, that's cool, because I've never been a boarder, so you know, I'll do the raiding this time. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And
I understand we can figure it out between ourselves, but I still think that could become an issue down the track, and it all depends as well how different they are, because if I keep doing the same mission over and over again, I keep being a gunner over and over again, it could get dull over time. So
yes.
It just depends. But we'll see. It still looks very, very interesting, and the fact that you possibly could be using that ship to just fly between missions and then do an entire mission...
That's amazing.
That would be really cool. So, and lastly, I just wanted to mention that while they were walking around the Railjack ship, I'm pretty sure I saw a Comey board. If you haven't played The Sacrifice yet, you will understand what a Comey board is eventually. But
spoilers just, alert!
It's not that much of a spoiler. It's basically like chess. So, I think that there might be Comey that you can play with your buddies on your ship. I'm calling it now. I hope it is true, but we'll see. Now we need to move on. The next thing they showed was the Revenant Warframe, Vlad, codename Revenant, both codenames, I guess. And Vampire his new ability.
Vampire Eidolon. Yeah. There we go.
the Vampire Eidolon. His abilities, so his first ability, I believe you mark one guy and he becomes your little pawn, and any enemy that he injures then also becomes a pawn, up to 20 little helpers.
At the moment, that's placeholder, just keep in mind.
It is placeholder, and it sounds like a lot to me, but we'll see. I mean, they could be, these are Warframe enemies, they're pretty squishy as it is, so they might die quickly, it's hard to say.
Yep.
The second ability was basically like an Eidolon shield that you can put onto yourself, and as you take damage, whoever causes damage to you then becomes a pawn and is added to your little army.
It's a stun and mark, so any enemies that deal damage to you will basically be stunned for a short duration. A mark will appear over their head, and then they will basically follow the same route as the enemies after they've been inflicted through the first ability.
Beautiful. Look at you taking notes, taking names. I'll let you cover the third one, because all the note, you know what the notes I took are? Missed.
That's understandable. I just want to go back to the first ability because there was one thing you missed. Enemies that have been marked, when they are killed, they will leave behind a Eidolon light pillar trap.
Ah, that's right, yes. Which is cool, which can injure other enemies.
Yes. Now, going on to the third ability, my honest opinion is Wukong rework 2018.
Kabara's got a zip line.
It
Valkyrie's got a zip line.
So basically you go mist form, you can use it to escape from troubled situations, flying through enemies, does a life steal, I think it is. Life steal or energy steal.
It sounds like that's what it does, but I'm not 100% certain that it does.
No, they were a little bit cryptic on that.
Yeah.
It drains. It drains the
It'd be
enemy
cool
of
if it
something.
does. It'd be cool if it does.
Yeah.
And the fourth ability.
I had a long sparkle hands.
Yeah, Eidolon Sparkle Hands, exactly. You basically spin in a circle like the Sound of Music's playing, and you fire lasers. You've got your own disco ball going. And it looks amazing, to be honest. I'm looking forward to using that ability,
It
although
does
I
look
don't like
amazing.
his wispy beard.
Hopefully
So,
the alternative helmet is a lot
why
better
not
than
have a wispy beard?
the primary.
Yeah, if it has a more solid beard, it
Yeah.
might be all right.
Yeah.
All right. So, moving on, we'll go through these next things relatively quickly because they've been covered and covered again. Deluxe skins. Deluxe skins for Nidus and Vorben were shown off.
And
Vorben
Boobin.
looks amazing.
Deluxe
Vorben,
skin for Boobin.
yeah, his looks amazing with those pistons. They weren't going independently, but they were. They will apparently by the time it's released. So I'm looking forward to that because I'm a big fan of Vorben. Nidus, I'm not a massive fan of, and to be honest, I find those arms across his chest look a little bit weird. It's a little. Not like an uncomfortable feeling that maybe it's supposed to. It just doesn't look right to me.
It
But
just feels out of place for you.
yeah, that's just me. I'm
That's
just weird like
understandable.
that. But he,
I
some of
think
the other
the
components look amazing.
oh yeah, absolutely. I have to say that the detail that they've put into Nidus's skin, the eyes on the shoulder, the bones, the broken bones in the spectral arms.
Yeah, that was cool.
Wow, just absolutely wow. I do like the fact that they've turned around and said that they want to make the eyes look around. I think that's going to be a bit of work for them, like trying to get alternate individual movements on something that's already moving. But if they can do it, hell yeah, bring it on. We want it.
Yeah, it'd be super cool. And the good news is, for PC players at least, that is scheduled to be released to PC next week. So we can expect it on console sometime around 2019. You like my funny joke? That was a funny
Well,
I just made a funny
well
joke.
done,
Thank you. All right. So of course they did mention the Nintendo Switch version that is coming and that I am excited about. They're looking to create the ability to port your account. Well, actually not port your account, but to copy your account. So your existing account will stay on your current platform and you will copy it as is over to the Switch, minus any platinum, etc. You can't, of course, carry that over. And then you'll be able to continue on the Switch and continue on your original platform. So they've definitely, basically, definitely acknowledged that it'll be happening on the PC, but they need to talk to the hardware manufacturers when it comes to Xbox and
Sony,
PlayStation.
yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Xbox is just going to high five them and say, let's do this shit. And Sony might just.
Let's not get into Sony.
Yeah,
Let's just
they'll
not
dig their
go down this
toes
path.
into the ground and go, oh, yeah.
It's a cool
So,
idea, I guess.
yeah, as PS4 players, looks like I'm starting a new character on Switch. I am looking forward to Switch. I love Switch. And the next dev stream, whenever it is, next week, whenever, 114, we'll be going into a fair amount of detail around Melee 3.0, and I know you're looking forward to that, Lucas, because you liked it when they showed it off originally.
Yes.
I missed that dev stream when they showed it off the first time, so I am keen.
Yes, the fact that they're going to remove one part of the channeling, the channeling attacks, so far that they've mentioned, and reduce, basically they're also going to remove the crit buildup.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do that, they have mentioned that they have to then beef up all melee weapons across the board.
Yeah, and it's going to be some major change if they're going to get rid of channeling. Changes.
Yes, get rid of channeling.
There's so many mods that have channeling. There's focus trees. Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be a massive huge change.
Which makes me wonder if they're going to do removing channeling to that extent, to the point where they have to remove it from the focus trees. Would that also mean that we get basically
another reroll?
A focus tree reroll, yeah.
I hope so. I haven't got that trophy.
I think I've spent a few points in the wrong abilities. So if that's the case, I'm definitely keen. The fact that they're going to remove the crit build up away, the crit counter, for a charge up bar, which then the button for channeling will be turned into a release button that will unleash your heavy attacks that you've charged up through combos.
Cool,
that is really cool. The dive attack that allows you to move forwards. That's going to be fun. That feels ninja. Yeah. That totally feels ninja.
And that's the thing. So if they can pull it off, because in my opinion, the way Melee feels at the moment is already pretty good. It's actually really damn good. That's why a lot of people like Warframe. But channeling sucks. A lot of people don't understand combo. I didn't understand combo until only very recently. You may remember, Lucas. It's kind of it'll be interesting to see what they won't change.
So, yeah, how they make a melee combat more interactive.
Yeah, exactly, and more enjoyable and more ninja-like. So yes. Looking forward to it. Any other comments on DevStream 113 before we move on?
No.
Okay.
Let's go.
So we're going on to the first of our regular content, which is our noob tips. So tips for beginners. So basically what we plan to do in this particular section every week is basically just give a tip for new players. So if you're a new player out there, you've got any questions, hit us up on Twitter or email. Let us know what your question is. We'll answer it. I will try to think of, and Lucas, of course, will try to think of things that we wish we knew when we started and help you out there. So the thing I've chosen today, realistically, I don't know who's listening, and I don't know whether or not how early in the game people are going to be before they decide to listen to a Warframe podcast, but I've just chosen to go with early game progression. What do you do after you've finished Vor's prize quest and suddenly the game doesn't hold your hand anymore? So
good way to start, actually, for the first podcast. Very very
right good. From the beginning. So yeah, I mean, what happened when you finish Vor's prize? You've got your orbiter all decked out. I think you've even got the relic. Maybe, no, you don't have the relic foundry.
That comes a little bit later.
But yeah, you've pretty much got everything you need initially. And the game basically opens up. You've got access to alerts. You've got access to invasions if you really wanted to do them. And, you know, Earth is there, ready to be explored, and you don't know what's going on. So it's pretty simple. You've got some blue throb shining, as I like to call it, nodes on the planet that are going womp, womp. Those are your next ones. Those are your next questions.
How's that go again?
They go womp, womp. those are the next quests you need to do. And you'll see that each quest, each node is connected by a line. That's basically the progression through that planet. And if you follow those lines, you'll see that they end up at a little, a funny little symbol that then joins a line that goes off screen. And essentially what they are, they're called, what are they called?
Junctions.
Junctions, thank you. They're your junctions. So they're junctions between planets. They allow you to travel at light speed between the planets. So you need to unlock them because they've been locked. So essentially what you need to do is on Earth, there are two junctions. There's Mars to the top of the screen and there's Venus to the bottom of the screen. You need to work your way towards the Venus junction. If you hover your mouse or you hover your little controller cursor over the junction, it'll come up with a list of
objectives, basically.
Objectives, requirements, things you need to do to be able to unlock the ability to go into the junction. So basically, you just need to tick those off. So that's your initial progress through the game. Really, what you want to do is you want to start off to unlock as many planets as you can. You want to realistically get to Phobos as soon as you can. So you want to go Earth, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Phobos as soon as you can. You want to unlock all of those planets. So you want to go through the missions to get to the junctions. Then you want to do the junction quest, which you basically fight a specter of a warframe. And once you take that down, it unlocks the next planet and you can go on to the next planet. So you don't need to do every single mission on a planet. You just need to progress through so that you can unlock planets. The reason you need to do that is because each planet has different resources and you need different resources to build things. So my tip for noobs is to unlock as many planets as you can and get through to Phobos before you start to look at quests. Thoughts, Lucas?
Keeping in mind that each junction, except for Earth itself, will have a boss fight beforehand.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind. There will be a little bit of a difficulty wall for newer players. If need be, just jump into the recruitment chat, mention, hey, I'm new, help with such and such node. Anyone available to give me a hand?
Yeah, particularly when you get to Fossa on Venus, I found that to be the first point that was really difficult. I mean, now when I go back to the Jackal, I can smash him just by entering the room with him and suddenly he's dead and I can move on. But at the time when I was still a new player, I just couldn't beat that damn Jackal. And I couldn't figure it out. I've got bad memories, PTSD. And so it's a good point. It's a good point. There are some bosses that are a bit hard. So just ask for help. People will help you. But yeah, do the missions, smash through them, unlock the planets, and keep in mind that the bosses drop warframe parts. And you can keep doing the boss over and over again and collect parts for warframes. All right, so that is the end of the first tip for beginners. The next section is a tip for advanced players. Lucas is going to cover off this. He has come prepared. I will preface this by saying, again, we are... You know, we've played a lot. Lucas has put 1,000 hours into the game. I've put about 550, 600 hours into the game. So we've played a lot, but we're not experts. In fact, nobody's an expert. And the thing about Warframe that I love so much is the fact that it all comes down to personal preference. So you don't necessarily have to agree with us. This is just what we've found. Where it really works in our experience. Or it's a tip for something that perhaps some of you might not have, which is pretty much what today's tip is.
Yeah. Okay, so I decided that for this first session, I would talk about a mod overlook. In particular, we're going to be looking at condition overload. Now, I know that it's not necessarily a really end-game advanced tip. It is something that you can... it's something that's about mid-range. We'll reach a point where this becomes almost a necessity if you're going to be using melee weapons with status-based, and I will get it to why that is in a second. So what does condition overload do? Well, it increases your total damage of your melee weapon by 60% for each status inflicted on your current target. For a good example, I've thrown condition overload onto the Endurer. I've built it for cold, corrosive. It's got the puncture. It's got the impact slash. Putting something like this on a status-based weapon is absolutely insane. This weapon's sitting at the moment at 80% status chance. So we're looking at quick maths, terrible at maths, 60, 120, 80, about 240, 220, 240%. All right, bad maths. I'm Australian, all right? Don't hold against me.
I'll stand by our ability for maths.
So yeah, basically it just completely makes your sword or whatever melee weapon you're using overpowered. You will melt enemies with this. As for acquiring condition overload, that is a little bit on the tricky side, as there currently is only two ways to go about it. I'll go the easy way first. The easy way is to find someone who's already got it and buy it from them. Absolutely easiest way you can go. Currently,
if you've got plat.
If you've got plat, or you know, if you just find someone who's friendly enough to go, hey, here, have a spare. That's even better.
Miracles.
Miracles. Well, you know, the community is good enough. I would expect it. At least if they really need it, yeah, that's cool. As for prices, currently PC pricing is looking around an average, and keep in mind these are averages, not exacts, an average of 70 platinum. PS4 can be anywhere between 50 to 70 plat, where Xbox One is currently sitting at 82 plat. I have looked at the lists, and Xbox One's selling a substantial amount less than the other platforms. Moving on to the second way of obtaining condition overload, which is an absolute nightmare. I've done it. It's painful. So if you're lucky enough to find a cheap one or get given one, kudos. Currently, they can only be farmed from Drakkar Butchers. And Drakkar Butchers are only found in Uranus. I know there's...
enough.
Good job, yes. Grineer Sea Labs, basically. Any Grineer Sea Labs, but there's only one planet that has Grineer Sea Labs. My advice for trying to farm this would be to go to the survival. I've gone completely mode. I think it was Aurelia. Aurelia node survival on Uranus. And for the Drakkar Butchers themselves, there is a 0.02% drop rate.
Ophelia, I think it is. Yeah, so it's the drop rate is like one in every...
Go on, do the maps.
It's not even 1%. It's less than 1%. It's one in every 2,000. So good luck. And that's why I don't have it.
Yeah.
I myself, every 2,000 Drakkar kills.
I myself am considering going and actually doing some farming for this. So I know for PS4 players in the future, we may be looking at a few condition overload giveaways, maybe. I don't know. Put that in the air. Put a pin in it. But
you gotta get them first. Good luck.
Gotta get them first. Yeah. Good fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I definitely have been trying to get condition overload for a long time because I'd like to turn my my melee weapons into destroyers of everything. But sadly, I have not been lucky, and I have spent many hours in that particular survival on Uranus. I did want to raise something, though. You did make a good point. When we mention advanced, it's not necessarily end game. It's just tips for people that are further advanced in the game. One day we'll have a discussion. Actually, maybe next week or the week after, we'll have a discussion about what is end game, because I think it means different things to different people, and that's okay, man. Nothing
Passion
wrong with
frame.
it.
Passion frame
Be
for
good.
the game.
Yes, we've heard that before. I've heard it a lot from Lucas in particular. All right. So thanks for that, Lucas. And that sort of brings us to the end of episode one. I hope it has been informative. I hope we've given you some good information. And again, we've got some plans. Lucas mentioned giveaways and things like that. We do want to do that in the future. The concern I have is that we can only give away on PS4, and that sort of restricts us for our potential Xbox and PC listeners. So we've got a little bit of thinking about what we can do with regards to giveaways, but I'm sure we can figure it out. We've got some other plans. We are also planning to do Warframe overviews, looks at different weapons, lots of different things. There's plenty of things, plenty of information within this video game that we all love, that we can cover, and I'm sure you all know that because it is an absolutely massive game. Lucas is 1,000 hours in, and there's still plenty of things he needs to do. I'm,
Many things.
600 in hours odd in. To the game, and there's so many things I need to do, plus so many more things that are just a couple of months out. Fingers crossed, we see Venus around October, November. So there's so much coming, and I'm really looking forward to it. Please continue along with us on this journey. Anything you'd like to do, you'd like us to do, whether you'd like us to change something, you want the podcast to be shorter, we'll see what we can do. There's a lot to talk about. You've got some tips for us, some advice for us. You don't like something we did or said, whatever it may be, send us an email at cephalonsquared at gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Cephalon Squared is the podcast. I'm Mad Capsules on Twitter, MadCapsules on Twitter. That's me. Follow me if you like. You don't have to. It's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Follow us. I've also got a website, madcapsulesgaming.com. It's the best, I promise. I've got some Warframe stuff on there, as well as other stuff. Lucas, share yourself.
Pretty much just find me on Twitter, Silverlight, SilverLghT. I'm only just new to it, so I need followers. Follow me, please.
So yes, Lucas will learn how to use Twitter, and we'll both learn how to use Twitter for a larger account for the podcast. Thank you.
One more point.
Suggestions are welcome. Yes, go.
One more point. I hope everyone can understand what we're saying.
With our crazy, outrageous accents.
Oh, I was actually more implying the quality of the microphones, but yeah, okay, we'll go along with the accents.
Yeah, so I hope today's, we just wanted to get it done. So please let us know what you thought of the quality of the audio, volume, etc. We are testing out an app called Anchor. Which allows us to very easily record our podcast. And it's actually been really, really simple, and it's going to upload it to everything for us and do all of that kind of stuff. Hopefully, it doesn't limit us in the future. We will find out, I guess, soon enough. But yeah, it seems to be working for us, but we just don't know the quality until it's done. And quality can be different on different people's devices. So please share with us. Let us know what you want. We will give it to you. Well, hopefully, we'll do what we can.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, yeah. Thank you very much for listening, and look out for episode two of Cephalon Squared next week.
Bye.
Bye for now.